Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jenna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. Good morning again. Happy Sunday to you, and welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour here with Jenna Spilbor and Carol Pesci and myself. And ladies, you know what show this is, by the way?
What?
Since we have been back together here at K104,
reunited,
we are one show.
It feels so good.
Peaches or herb?
I'll be peaches.
It's not herb, it's herb.
I'm kidding.
All right, so wait, can we just guess for a minute? Because I think we got back together in September of 2018 or 2017.
That's only a year ago.
Oh, I'm thinking 2 years, though. It's
September 2017 we got back together?
Probably right, yeah. So this is, we are one show short of...
A hunch?
Almost, 90.
Oh, wow.
What are we? What?
90.
One show short of 90?
Yep. This is show number 89 for us since we've been back, which
here,
is cool.
And
yes,
we've been together for
100 years.
8 years now?
Since 2011, I think.
Yeah.
Every freaking week.
Oh, man. Week after week with you two.
Minus that two-year window. That's
I have a challenge for Jenna today.
What's that?
I don't like challenges.
You love challenges.
I know.
I would like for you to do this entire episode in your Marissa Tomei from My Cousin Vinny voice.
Oh, that would be... The whole show would be a little rough. I'm only good for like a couple of lines.
Oh, okay. Give me one.
I can't. FCC rules and regs.
She doesn't swear through the whole thing.
Yeah, she doesn't swear through the whole thing. You can give us a couple of Marissa Tomei lines.
But my favorite line I can't give you because there's one word in there that we probably shouldn't ought to say on the air.
Just say it's called. Just say it's called something blankhead.
But that takes away.
No, she ain't gonna do it now. I'll tell you what.
All right, I'll say this.
Okay.
I'll just change. I'll make it rhyme. But I won't say it.
Oh, God.
Okay?
All right.
Okay.
I'll get ready with the
we'll
dump
try.
Button.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Ready? It's called disclosure, you dibhead. Right? You get it?
You get it?
Yeah. Yeah, we get it.
My biological clock is ticking like this.
Oh, man.
Our guest in studio today is Marissa Tomei. She has no reason to be here. She just decided to stop by. Marissa, how are you?
And recite a few lines from My Cousin Vinny.
Oh, wait. There's more.
I'm not talking to him. Anybody who hasn't seen the movie is like, what?
Dumb. Hey, yeah, click.
If you have, they're like, I remember that part.
Everybody's seen that movie. Mm. It's an iconic movie. Every time I see her, and I like Marissa Tomei. She's
love
been
her.
A million other things, and I do like her. But the same thing happens to me when I see Marissa Tomei as what happens to me when I see Bill Clinton.
What?
Now, what do you
I
mean?
I can't even in a million years make that connection.
What do you think,
Barry?
Do
you have any idea?
I have no
where
idea.
She's going?
All right, here I go. I'll tell you.
Does she play saxophone?
No.
Close. Okay.
I can never look at Bill Clinton without thinking about the whole Monica Lewinsky thing.
Right.
Like, you just can't, even though it was a million years ago.
I'm there, too.
And every time I see Marissa Tomei, it makes me wonder if there was any truth to the rumor that she didn't actually win the Oscar for her role as Mona Lisa Vito, because the rumor was they had read the wrong name.
What?
And I never heard that.
Yeah, there was a rumor.
That.
You should Google it. That they read the wrong name and she wasn't supposed to get the award, but she did. And so that's always like a little... look, she deserved it as far as I'm concerned. That was a great movie. She played a great role. It was perfect.
Now, are you sure this isn't just some sort of conspiracy theory? Because I do remember at the time reading a lot of articles that trashed her winning the award because they said she didn't deserve it it wasn't that good of a role, that it was just a novelty thing, and that it's like basically they kind of tried to tear down her career because they said she hadn't done nothing really extra special before that.
And then all of a sudden she wins for this. And so I do remember there was some controversy over her winning it, but not maybe a conspiracy theory like this.
Yeah, no, I definitely heard the conspiracy theory.
How do you read the wrong name? They only give you the winning name.
Hello, Steve Harvey.
Yeah.
Bubble.
I know. So, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yes. Yeah, so for all of you that don't know, Miss Pesky here lives in a little bubble.
It's Carol's
big bubble world.
Yeah. So when she calls bubble, what that means is she didn't come out of the bubble to know what we're talking about.
Right. What happened with Steve Harvey?
So Steve Harvey was the host of Miss America, Miss Universe, one of the Miss Beauty pageants, right? Not that long ago. And I don't know how it happened, but when it, I think they were right down to, you know, who was going to win and the runner-up. You know when they have the two women who are like all cozied up and they're all praying and their fingers are crossed, like who's he going to read? And he accidentally read the runner-up as the winner. And she was like, yay! And then he was like, no, sorry, wrong name. Like after she was already peeing her pants and with excitement on stage for the whole world to see. Yeah. Uh-huh. So yes, can it happen? Are you guys Googling Marissa Tomei? Did she really win or not? Is that what you're doing?
No, actually, I was just seeing what pageant it was. It was the Miss Universe pageant.
Miss Universe pageant.
For Steve Harvey,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, of course, didn't kill his career or anything.
No.
But, oh, if I were the one that he wrongfully read, I would have so many voodoo dolls in my room with large pokey things sticking out of them.
Keep in mind, people, she already has so many voodoo dolls with pokey things sticking out of them for many, many people. This would be just an additional voodoo doll.
She's got like this secret vault closet in her house.
Yeah, you know what would happen
she
if
puts
somebody
a combination,
broke...
She goes into it. She has to go through security clearance first.
Are you referring to me?
Yeah.
And I'm then just when you wondering go in the back, what would happen to the guy that breaks into your house that accidentally finds that room. And then when he gets into that room, the door locks behind him because that is part of your security system. And he's stuck in there all weekend with your voodoo doll room.
And start shooting at him.
Yep.
With colored round heads.
You think that bothers me? That don't bother me.
So before we started here this morning, I just wanted to let you know that we sat and we usually do this. We'll sit together for a few minutes and
talk
see how we're
going
to approach, right, what we're going to talk about here. And one of the things that we thought we were going to talk about this morning is the fact that Jonna is very, very annoyed, as she is often, and you catch that every week. She's very annoyed that she's not annoyed enough this week with anything to talk about it.
Well, it's not that I'm not annoyed enough. It's like I have so many things to be annoyed about that my level of annoyance on any one of them is sort of
you got
like
a new baseline.
Mild, as opposed to like just having a couple things that are really tearing me up inside. Yeah. So it's like that.
Okay. But your toe still hurts.
Oh, my toe is still broken.
You're still walking on heels.
And I'm this is like really, really bad. I was so annoyed last night, actually, because my broken toe from 2 weeks ago keeps me up at night. And Dr. Google says that this pain could linger from 4 to 6 weeks. And that's if you are actually taking care of yourself when you break a bone. But I figured out what it is. Like, I walk around and I'm in pain. And it's like kind of excruciating. It's a weird sort of burny pain. And I said, this happens because I am always in complete denial. Like, smash toe, go down for the count. I know it hurts. Got to be broken. But I'm like, I'm just going to walk this off. He ain't walking it off, literally or figuratively. Because it's a toe. Like, I can only wear certain shoes because I can't squeeze my left foot into my regular shoes because it's swollen.
And your feet hurt at night more?
They hurt constantly. But at night when you're laying in bed and your foot is throbbing, yeah, it is highly, highly annoying. But moving on. Do you ever have a kid? You probably do, Carol, because you have some people in your life who are a little bit younger than you, like
your husband.
Your husband, yes. I mean single people.
Okay, yeah.
And I was giving some dating advice a few days back to a single person who happens to be related to me. And everybody that was in the room when I was giving this advice thought I was giving bad advice.
So you're going to ask our opinion of said advice?
I would like your opinions.
Oh,
okay?
Boy.
Here's the scenario. Person A, we'll call her, okay? Person A is kind of sort of in a loose dating relationship with person B, okay? Person B was more into person A, say, a couple of months ago, and then sort of backed off, okay?
Frankenberry's drawing a map.
Yeah. All right, so you got
a diagram of this conversation.
Person A, person B come together. Right. They're hot and heavy for a short period of time. Person B backs out. Now, person A is... You know our listeners can't see your map.
I know they can't, but
he's not doing it for that reason.
I'm just reminding. I'm just trying to make sure that I know.
Okay.
What I'm responding to here.
So that you can give the sound disinfect.
Oh, I'm going to
yes.
do it because I'm already lost. But
right.
go.
Let me recap. Person A, person B get together.
Okay.
Hot and heavy.
Hook up
for a short period of time. Okay. Say a couple of months. Person B backs a little bit out of that relationship.
Okay.
Okay. Person A wants to get person B back into her life.
Yeah.
Okay.
So now you're offering advice on such.
So now I'm offering advice because one of the things that she did that she was talking about was that she...
In an effort to get B back.
Yes, in an effort to get B back. She... B made an excuse not to want to hang out with A by claiming he was sick. So she went and ordered a fancy lunch, like... chicken soup or matzo ball soup or some sort of elixir from a nice local restaurant and had it delivered to his house as a gesture of, I will take care of you the best I can. I can't come over and cook for you because you won't let me come over, but I will instead spend money I don't have to order lunch from a place that to deliver to your home when you're probably lying about being sick to begin with. I mean, this is my filter. I'm like, first of all, person B is lying.
And you're a divorce attorney. Go ahead.
Yes. Person B is lying. He's not really sick. He's just not that into you. He didn't want to see you. He's using sick as an excuse. You took it literally and then went and tried to do something nice for him. So I said to her, that was a dumb idea. To person A. Person A then said to me, well, you're wrong because person B thanked me profusely and said that was the nicest thing that anybody's ever done for him.
And has person B come back around and called? And
no, of course not, because person B is a liar. Person B is not into person A, and person A is chasing person B. You never get what you want when you chase somebody who's not that into you.
Yeah.
Now, when is it nice to order a lunch for somebody who's sick? When you already have a good relationship, and that is genuinely a nice gesture. When you're ordering a lunch because someone says they're sick, you just look desperate, in my humble opinion. Am I right or am I right? Frankenberry, you got the map.
Well, no, it was only a partial map.
It's a diagram.
It was a little diagram that B, you know, initially yay with a happy face for A, and then eventually an arrow away from A that says yay no more with more of a sad face. And I didn't get a chance to finish the diagram with A, then arrow, arrow, arrow to B. Including sandwiches and soup. But that would have been next in my diagram. So, anyway, are you right or right? I will say in this particular case that, yes, you are most probably correct here and that your family was wrong on saying that your advice was not good advice.
They basically said I was mean.
Oh, it's not mean. See, now there's a difference between mean and just being truthful. Now, yes, those can both be the same thing. But in this particular case, you weren't trying to hurt her. You were just trying to give her the heads up. Say, listen, you know, when you chase somebody who doesn't really want to be chased, you do look desperate. And that's
desperate.
And I have no issues with
and
that.
And it's going to be unsuccessful. And the only reason I know that, which I probably should have added to the conversation, but I didn't, is I only know that based on experience.
I was just going to say, I know that because I have done the same thing myself. And
yep.
When I was done with it, that is an embarrassment that I sucked into myself. I didn't tell another soul for, you know what I mean, for the you know, maybe three or four times that I've done such a thing in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that is something that you probably should have added to the conversation because it would have softened the blow a little bit and say, I'm only telling you this because I know.
Yeah, but I didn't. But I feel, and it's funny because somebody who's done that and has been on the desperate end and, you know, am now wiser. She was so, person A was so arguing against everything that I was telling her. I said to myself, wow, that was me. That was me, like, you know, not even that long ago, a decade or so ago.
And again, you had your in to be able to tell her that and you didn't.
No, I didn't. I think instead what I did, just poured another glass of wine and said, okay.
And hit her with some more. Yeah, Jonas Spillboard, you can be cold on occasion.
I recently had that something similar that happened to me, not on a romantic level at all, but I, in fact, really recently, I had, and this is why this person's no longer a friend on Facebook. I had a person who, for years and years and years, has continually asked me for free legal advice. Listen, don't get me wrong, but what I'm about to say, I enjoy giving advice. I enjoy helping people. I want people to come to me and ask me. That's great. I'm fine. I don't have a problem. But this person excessively, like for years, on a regular basis, almost like he would make up things to ask that he didn't really even need to know. But I always just freely handed out my legal advice. A couple weeks ago, this person contacts me again for free legal advice, not for him, but for somebody he knows, which is another thing this person frequently does. It's like, it's not for me, it's for this person. It's not for me, it's for another person.
Asking for a friend.
Yeah, asking for a friend. Well, it turns out this person had asked me for advice. I gave him the advice, and then it segued into the person had actually suffered a personal injury that wasn't his fault. And so I naturally thought that he wanted me to represent him on that personal injury matter. And so I said, well, when do you want to come in and talk about your personal injury? What, you know, your rights are about that, blah, 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 blah. He's like, oh, I got this. You got this? You're not a lawyer. What do you mean you got this? Well, I'm not quite sure who I'm going to use for my lawsuit.
Really?
That's what I said.
Can you send a bill for the last decade?
So this is all happening over my phone on text. So I just looked at my phone like, this is a joke. This person must be joking. So now I want to get enraged and say, are you effing kidding me? Right? Because all the free advice over the years and you don't know who you're going to use. Now you have an opportunity for me to use my talents and get paid,
right?
And you're going to go someplace else. So I responded to this person. I said, oh, sure. I said, after, you know, all of the questions I have answered for you freely over the years, I just naturally assumed that you knew that my firm also handles personal injury. I assumed that. So when you're ready, you let me know. End of discussion. End of Facebook friendship.
ended it, or you ended Facebook?
I did. I'm like, I am icing you out because I genuinely, I think that's just BS. And, you know,
and you are generous. I've seen you many, many times when we're around, you know, a group of people. I've seen you been asked many, many questions, and you always answer.
And I enjoy doing it until I feel like I'm being used.
Yeah.
Bring it back around to this love scenario. It's almost like that. I was reminded of the adage, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? Like, maybe that's what the kind of relationship I established with this person was, why buy the cow and you can get the milk for free? I mean, he literally asked me for free legal advice 1 second before telling me that he didn't know who he was going to use for his personal injury matter. Like, it was in the same conversation. At least split it up.
Maybe he wasn't injured, but he was the one that actually caused the injury, and he's presenting it to you the wrong way.
No.
Oh.
No. So, yeah.
Fired.
So I'm a little bitter in a whole other... This was a professional dissing, as opposed to, you know, the kind of back and forth that my person A and person B were going through. Live and learn. That's all right. I got people waiting in line to be my Facebook friend. I can get rid of one. Fine.
And I'm sure you've got people waiting in line for your services, so you're fine. You're fine there as well.
All right. So speaking of men and women, this is kind of interesting, and I did not plan that to go. I'm going to say our guest today is a little bit of a departure from our traditional type of guest, because we have a guest who's an author of a book called Lean On, The Five Pillars of Support for Women. He is a man who thinks one of the ways that women should be supported in this day and age is by relying on stay-at-home dads. Hmm. And he is going to discuss with us how to make that work, who it's right for, and all the things. Because, listen, I can imagine a lot of people be like, oh, heck no. But I think after we speak to, his name is Andreas Wilder. Now, we're going to have to get a little confirmation of the way you say his name, because it's spelled Wilder. Like, he ain't just Wilder. He's Wilder. but he's from Germany, so maybe there's some accent on the wrong syllable that I'm not doing
here. Is the entire book based on that concept?
Yes. Yes.
Of why women should...
How stay-at-home dad relationships can work. And he's a speaker, he's a consultant, he's a coach, and what I dig about him is he's a man who is promoting empowerment for women. I like that in a guy.
Well, what? I think people should be more open to that. I mean, we'll save the discussion, but why would it be? I remember years ago Al Roker saying on TV that when he would go in public places with his kids and people would approach him and say, oh, are you babysitting today? And it was like, why? You know, would you ever approach a mom and say, oh, are you babysitting today?
Right. Right. Because we're not there yet.
Whatever works, right?
Right. I agree. So I'm very interested in speaking with him, which we will do, Andreas Wilder, after the break.
All right. That sounds good. With Jonna and Carol, this is Happy Hour. We'll be right back with our guests, so please stick with us. You're listening to K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour again here. Happy Sunday morning to you. And it's time for our second segment. And of course, you know, our second segment with Jonna and Carol is always with our guest. And we have Andreas Wilder with us here today.
Yes. And our guest today, Andreas Wilder, is the author of Lean On, The Five Pillars of Support for Women in Leadership. And a little bit about Andreas is he is a business leader and entrepreneur. He also recognized that women can be providers and men can be the nurturers. Wilder began focusing on coaching female leaders while teaching men how to actively support them. I love this already. And he is also a Gallup certified strengths coach. We've had a previous, our friend
Robin Torres from Marist
Torres
College.
Is one of those, and she's fantastic. And I know Andreas is going to be fantastic. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
So we were gossiping about you before we called you up because I could be wrong, and maybe you can dispel this if this is a myth. I think the whole notion of having dads stay at home and care for the kids while the mom goes out to be the breadwinner and work is something that we have not yet embraced totally as a society. But I want you to tell us why maybe we ought to. So tell us a little bit about, is that the primary focus of your book, Lean On, or is that just one facet of it?
This is just one facet of it, but it's a very important facet. And no, we have not embraced it enough. Being a stay-home dad, taking care of the kids has become much better in the last 13 years. I'm since 13 years a stay-home dad, so I have seen a lot change in the last few years, but we are not there where we should be as society today. And this, especially when we ask women to lean in into their work and go back to work, break the glass ceiling, who is taking care of the kids? Who is going to be the nurturer for the family, so women can do that? And so if we ask for more women to go to work and break the glass ceiling, we need also to ask the men to step up and help out with the family.
That's a really good point.
My God.
It's like a counterbalance. Hey, lean. Exactly. Wow.
And it's almost obvious. Like, I just wanted to hit myself in the head and say, why didn't I think of that? That makes
total sense.
How
can you have one without the other dynamic stepping in? Wow.
Yes.
My cousin is the breadwinner, a female, the mom, and her family, and her husband is the one that primarily stays home and takes care of the kids.
All right, so they're making it work. Which, okay, so is there some secret to making it work. And the reason I ask is that I'm sure you have to have a conversation if you're going to do this in your own family with each other. The spouses, the parents need to speak to each other. But it's, you know, society kind of looks at people strangely when you do this. So it's not just happening under your roof. You got to be comfortable no matter who's going to throw barbs at you. So how would somebody go about making this work? Who is it good for?
So the first decision has to be made in the family, and it has to be made by the husband or by the man. It has to be made with the... If I'm going to be a stay-home dad, I need to be okay with it. I need to be okay with my wife earning more than me do. I must be okay with being maybe looked at strange from other people in society, but because you will always have those people who say, why are you staying home? Or can't you provide for your family? So this is a decision the man has to make for himself and in co-work with his wife, because that's the next one. It's one of the topics I address in my book, is you need to empower each other. And this means when we decide, okay, he is the stay-home dad, that means also he gets the key to the house. He makes the rules. She has to follow his lead when we're talking about how do we raise the children. It doesn't make sense for her to say, okay, I'm going to work, but I'm still making all those decisions and have actually him only babysit what I want to do. We have to embrace each other. Though this is the main decision between the couple to make. Are we all okay with doing it? So it's set up for success.
And honestly, why not? Other than it's just been past stereotypical relationships, why wouldn't it equally work as well for the husband to be the primary caregiver and the wife to work? And I think part of the challenge, and this is why you're saying it's so important to have that discussion amongst the couple first to really get on the same page, is where... women and men differ in how they validate their worth. Mm-hmm. And men are typically the providers. Mm-hmm. So it really, and I kind of agree with you that this decision has to really settle good with the husband first, or the father first.
It has, and this is the, we are raised to see masculinity in a certain way. Especially as a man, you have seen it from your parents and from your father. What is it to be a man? And this is going to be redefined right now, but there are still those old impressions. That's how a man needs to be. And for having respect for myself, I have to overcome those prejudices about what is it to be a masculine man. I don't have to define myself about being the Marlboro cowboy again. So So those are the where we have to go as society.
And honestly, what more important job could there be than to be caring for and raising your children? Well, you know, why is that looked at as a second step down or something? I don't get it.
I think personally it would be, a lot of couples, when two parties are going to go to work, you're spending a lot of money to have a stranger oftentimes come in and take care of your children.
And sometimes you don't have a choice.
No, and I know. And sometimes you don't have a choice. So if you have a choice, this might not be a bad way to go. But so this can only really, or this works best, I should say, this kind of arrangement, when both spouses have sort of an equal opportunity income-wise, right? Because you wouldn't want to take, let's say the husband is a CEO of a big corporation and the wife is working her way toward that and is not at the same income level. It doesn't make sense to have the, I guess it makes sense to be more traditional in a case like that, or
there's a matter of practicality comes first. You know, if you have your lifestyle and your bills that have to be met, and one can meet that better than the other one, but all other things equal.
What say you, Andreas, about that?
So there are, Betsy Myers has three types of women in leadership defined. The first one is the late bloomers, and those are women that maybe already raised children and start later in their career, or their husbands have been the CEO. They want to step back and they start working full time. Then we have the part of the power couple where both women and men go work together or go out fulfill their dreams, and the family somehow is maybe raised by nannies. And then we have the breadwinners and stay-home dads. And depending on where you are in this situation or in those three models, it makes maybe more sense to have a stay-home dad, or it makes just more sense for the dad to be a more active role in the raising of the children. I don't say every man has to be a stay-home dad, but I say every man should step up more and help raise the children in a better way and give the female more freedom, more power, more time to go to work and fulfill her dreams.
So, Andreas, let me ask you. Now, you had mentioned that you've been the stay-home dad now for 13 years. 13 years ago, what was it that you guys sat down with for somebody that may be sitting down to do this for the first time? Maybe they're considering something like this, or they've run into the situation where, hey, my wife does make way more money than I do. Maybe this could work for us. What was it that spurred the conversation that had you eventually get into the spot you're in?
So we fell into it without having the right conversation. That's why I tried to write my book and help others not to learn from all the mistakes we made. When we were still in Germany, I stayed home because the government made it so easy for men to stay at home, and I was one of the first ones who were paid to stay home as a paid maternity leave for men.
Oh, wow.
Maybe 4 months after the law was made, I was one of the first ones to apply for it. So it's really, in January, they made the law in May, I started to be it. So, and then when we came to the U.S., I was not allowed to work at the beginning. I didn't have my work visa, so we were here, and I only had the choice to stay home with the kids. And then we saw it's good for me to be home with the kids, not only to give the kids somebody to they can lean on and have the stability as at least one parent is home, but also for my wife. She was traveling all the time and is now, I would say, always, she's gone 4 out of 4 weeks. And it makes it easier for her to know the kids are taken care of by someone who loves them just as much as she would, instead of having them raised by a babysitter.
And if I could just go on a little bit of a tangent. I know personally, for example, when you are, like, I run a business, so I make a lot of decisions all the time, every day, 24/7. So sometimes when I and my much younger boyfriend, Andreas, are trying to decide where to go for dinner, I'll say to him, you make the decision. Like, I'm all decided out. Just take, you make the decision, you make the plan, and I will follow. And that, to me, and when that doesn't happen, it's upsetting. And when it does happen, it's like, thank you for supporting me and taking something off my shoulders.
And you know what? There's a key point. Thank you for supporting me. And to communicate in what way you can be supported, right? It's like that expectation that maybe so the man stays home, the woman goes and she's in a leadership position. And then you get anger. We women are so good at this. It's passive aggressive. But you should know.
Right.
What are you mad at?
I got to tell you.
Right. Yes. So I think it's up to the woman in that situation, or just really in general in life, if you need more support, to properly and
identify
that and communicate in what way, what does support look like to you? Because you just said it, Jonna. In your world, that's what it looks like.
Right.
Yes, this part of communication, having an open conversation, having open communication and not assuming something. That's, I think, one of the biggest, no matter what family model you have, there's not assuming what the spouse wants or the partner wants, but starting to talk about it. That's something I always say, and it's coming out in my book, is strong. Have this conversation with them. Have together, make goals, make a 5-year plan, make a 10-year plan. That's where we both agree where we want to go. Maybe we have to compromise, but at least everybody knows where we want to go together.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What other concepts? So in your book, Lean In, the 5 pillars of support for women. Can you, without giving away too much of the book, can you tell us what the 5 pillars of support for women are?
So the 5 pillars are self, partnership, family, work, and society. And how are the 5 pillars defined is, what 5 areas do you have to work through to be an active support or make it work? You have to be okay with yourself, like we talked about, is the man up to it? Is the woman up to it? You have to be have the conversation together in your partnership and say, okay, that's how I want to do it. That's how you, who is taking care of what, making those rules. Then the same one with the family. When it comes to older kids suddenly, like my children are 12 and 8, and they went through so much in living a non-traditional life, being right. bullied by the neighbor kids because they didn't understand this. And so those are conversations we have to have. Then in the workplace, of course, and in society, we have society to make up for it. So those are the five pillars I'm talking in the book about.
You raised a good point, too, because it kind of touches on what I said a little bit ago, and that is this doesn't happen in a vacuum. Like, the decision might be made under your roof, but your children go out into school, and, you know, their friends, they go to their friends' houses, and daddy's the one who's going out and making the money, and mommy's the one who's staying, or they're both parents are going out. So I suppose there's a way that you have to sit down as a family, even with your young kids, and let them know that this is normal.
Yeah, here the best example was for us. My son's friends always came over on Saturday and asked, do you want to come out to play? And he said several weekends after another, no, mommy is at home. And suddenly he was bullied at school as, oh, he doesn't want to play because he has his mommy. Until we explained it and said, mommy is not here from Monday until Sunday, or Monday until Friday, so if she is home, it's the special time. And then they understood, but we had to teach them, and that was in first grade. So teaching a first grader and his friends that it's different, those small things are this what the kids have to learn and accept for themselves.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, because those small things aren't actually small. I think that's huge. And if I were in this kind of situation, I would make sure I sat down with my kids when they did see me on the weekends and say, you know, you better not love daddy more than you love me. That would be my challenge, Andreas.
But you know what's really important, though, is the fact that you were able to have the conversation with those kids and maybe stem the tide of future bullying, you know, as they get older, maybe it's they're amazing. Able to understand now. I mean, that's tremendous.
It was a great, and I applaud all my neighbors and the mothers who helped to bring this issue to their children and to explain it to them, since they were really traditional, brought up, daddy went to work, stay home mom, and suddenly this complete different.
Right. Now, here's one question for you. So if you're like the one dad in the neighborhood that's a stay home dad, and there's a bunch of other moms, it's almost like a sitcom. Does your wife get jealous at all of the other moms looking at the cool dude there?
No, actually, the other moms are not open to stay home dads.
So oh, really?
There's still a big gap between it. So when I go to birthday parties for the children after school, normally the moms hang together and the dads, most of them see me as, okay, here comes the normal dad who brings the kids to the birthday party instead of accepting me as one of theirs. So those, luckily now more and more dad support groups are out there. So you can go online and look for stay home dad networks and stuff like that. Facebook has great groups and city meetups, but this was different 10 years ago. So there's still this gap between moms, stay home moms and stay home dads.
Well, yeah, and I get it. But you are really a bit of a pioneer, and I applaud you for you know, being a man in this world and doing what you can, writing books, coaching, speaking to help support women and empower women. So, and I know that people can find you at your website, which is yourname.com. It's AndreasWilderer.com. The book is Lean On, The Five Pillars of Support for Women in Leadership. And where can they get the book, Andreas?
You can get it on Amazon and Barnes & Noble's.
Great. And I did visit your website. There's a lot of cool stuff on there, and I would encourage, a ton. I would encourage people, if you want to learn more about this, if you think this might be a lifestyle for you, or just some, there's some other stuff on your website, too, that's very interesting. You know, your Gallup Certified Strengths information. Go to AndreasWilderer.com. We've really enjoyed having you as our guest. Thank you very much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, thank you very much, Andreas. I really appreciated what you had to say, and some of it was eye-opening. So
yeah, this is going to pick up steam.
Yeah.
It's going to pick up steam.
All right. Well, this is Happy Hour with Jonas Spilbor and Carol Pesci, and we're not done yet for this morning, so you guys all hang with us, and we'll be back. This is K104.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And we're back again here with Happy Hour on this Sunday morning. One more time, segment number three with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frank and Barry.
Well, Andreas was very cool. And that was definitely something I hadn't thought of before. You know, the whole concept of empowering your better half, your female better half, right, by being the stay-at-home dad.
Right.
But also having to try to deal with the obstacles that come with changing perceptions along the way.
And the effect on the children. Like, it's a big, you know, it starts with just the two of you, but it expands out like an explosion that you
right.
have to, you know. But I think more and more people, I think this is an idea that should and probably will pick up steam. And it's nice to have a man be very supportive of women in this way.
Well, there's so much discussion about, you know, equal pay and the glass ceiling and mm-hmm. how much more driven women are today to succeed professionally. All well and good.
Mm-hmm.
But how can that dynamic go up without something else shifting in a traditional
right.
family's life
right.
to allow for that?
'Cause I will.
Such as the husband backing off from his profession and supporting the woman.
Right, because I do, you know, not to fast forward, and I didn't want to bring this up during our talk, because this requires a strong and healthy marriage, right, in order for it to work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, one of the complaints when I handle divorces, when I've had the quote-unquote traditional, you know, husband went out and was the breadwinner, and the wife stayed home and raised the children, which is a huge job. But when you're divorcing, if I had a nickel for every time a man in that position said, "She doesn't work. She spends all my money." Like, okay, but your children had clothes on their back and were, you know, grew up to not be, you know, criminals, right?
Right.
So, you know, it's a trade-off. But those people take a little more convincing, I think, for something like this than maybe the millennials that are coming up in the world at the moment. It's one nice thing I'll say about millennials. That's it. That's all I got.
Oh, come on.
Okay there, Spilbor.
Yes.
Why don't you tell us how you really feel?
So anyway, so that was a good talk. That's eye-opening. Another thing that's eye-opening is this is something just for the women. So if you want to tune out for the next couple of minutes, Frank and Barry, feel free.
Ha! Now, for everybody out there, how does she know I already haven't?
Stop.
I'm kidding.
I can tell. So, Curly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, not that this is going to be my, you know how sometimes we have $1 million ideas and we're up to like, you know, $1 million idea, 800,032.5.
It's a lot of dollars.
I know. But I think I have an idea that's not quite a $1 million idea, but it's a good one. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah.
Well, remember the last time I cleaned out my closets? You inherited a couple of pairs of jeans, right? Because I threw out like 32 pairs of jeans or something like that. Not throughout. I donated 32 pairs of jeans. And my closets are traditionally, how do you organize yours? Do you organize yours by color?
No.
You don't? How do you organize your closet?
By casual versus something that's dressier.
Oh, so you go by style of clothing.
Yeah, like purpose.
This is definitely me tuning out.
Yeah, I know, but the women won't.
There's no sound effects for it, but this is definitely me tuning out.
Yeah, because your closet, Frank and Barry, is...
It has hangers with clothes on it.
It does?
Yeah, that's all.
I was going to say it's a couple of milk crates, and you got your shorts and your baseball tops folded nicely in them. That's it.
I have...
And your undies. You got your Batman undies.
I got my Batman undies.
In a special place.
And
your tidy whiteies in the other
milk. There are
crate.
No tidy whiteies.
No?
No tidy whiteies. I've told you that before.
Oh, that's right. You're a boxer guy.
I'm a boxer guy. But I do have a closet that has hangers with stuff hanging on them.
You do?
Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, so do I. So my new method of organizing, I'll just say not the entire closet, the shirt portion of the closet, because I just had to go in there and revamp, is this. And I think it's genius. You organize your shirts by the type of bra you need to wear with them.
You getting this, Frankenberry? You going to start a diagram for this?
Hold on. You should. Because here's why. Here's why. I'm going to explain to you people why this is genius. I think Frankenberry is drawing male anatomy on his page. It's genius because sometimes when you're in a hurry and you want to grab a shirt, you grab a shirt, and if you need a special bra with it, i.e. a halter straps, i.e. strapless, i.e. a certain color that's weird, and you don't have time to contemplate that. So if you organize your shirts by, here I can wear my normal bra, this section I need a fancy bra, this section I need a strapless bra, then when you're in a jam, you go by the type of bra. Like, I got a normal bra right now. Let me just replace this shirt with a shirt that requires a normal bra. Boom. You grab it and you go. Curly.
Have you been reading Marie Kondo's book?
No, but I did read it.
The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up?
Yes, I did read that book.
You
most of it.
Did the Life-Changing Magic of Organizing Your Clothes by bra type?
Is this like some sort of like Feng was Brazier kind of thing? Is that how this, you know?
Like what?
Instead of feng shui, it's like feng brazier. Is that what this is?
Feng bra?
Yeah, feng bra.
Bra shui? It's bra shui.
There you
yeah.
go.
That's what it is. And I invented it. You heard it here first. When somebody steals this idea, turns it into an app, and becomes a quadrillionaire, you can write that word down too if you want to, Curly.
That's right. And for everybody listening today, a few years down the road, when they say, you know, we heard Jonna talk about this first.
Right. And then we stole it and we got on Shark Tank. You're welcome. That's all I'm going to say. This is going to save women a ton of time. A ton of time. And plus, it helps you when you're buying stuff. You can be like, oh, the halter bra section of my shirts is lacking. Let me order some more shirts where I can use a halter bra.
Frankenberry's face.
And again, it all comes down to enabling capitalism. That's what. Buy more stuff to fit into the closet.
Do you have a braless section?
Yeah. No. Oh, no. I don't have a braless. No. You would not catch me going braless unless I'm accidentally
doing it. Unless you're taking your garbage out to the
street. That's right.
Right.
Right. And putting kids through puberty. Yes.
Just like I won't go out makeupless. You will always find me with a bra and makeup on. I could be dead in a ditch. Be like, yeah, that's her. Bra, makeup. Yeah, that's her. I can identify her. Uh-huh. So,
okay.
On that note, I guess nobody really cares about my ingenious idea, but you know who's going to?
Who?
Mark Cuban and Lori Grenier.
Okay.
And Corcoran there. What's her? Barbara Corcoran. And
yeah, but you don't
Damon
actually,
John.
But this isn't actually
also needs
this
to get
isn't
on the
actually
show.
A product. It's just
it's a
system.
Concept.
Yeah,
it's a system, right? It's a system. You can sell a system. The bra shui system. I'll give you royalties for coming up with the name, FB.
Well, no, actually, you came up with bra shui. I started with Feng Brazier, which sounded like a bad movie, like a vampire movie. Feng Brazier. never mind. I don't even know what it is. All right. Well, I guess that'll call it a morning here,
yeah.
Huh? With Happy Hour, another week on K104 with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. And thanks again to Andreas Wilderer for joining us earlier today. And we'll be back again next Sunday. We'll do it every week here, 7 o'clock. So join us then.
Visit me at my new website, broshway.com.
Okie doke.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.